Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. Tom Travis is back with us. He's our global business expert in the Brain Trust. He's the guy, one of the guys in our Brain Trust who helps us understand what's going on in the across the country, across the world, as we look at doing business in other parts of the world, as we deal with some of the intricacies, some of the legal issues, some of the structural things that you and I will have to do, those of us who are exporting. And as you know, for a number of years, I've encouraged you to look into the export business, to look into what it would take for you to be doing business overseas, and only just from an educational standpoint, to finding out what the issues are. And finding out who can help you, because there are plenty of people out there who will help you and who can help you. Tom Travis is one of those guys. His firm is called Sandler, Travis, and Rosenberg out of the great state of Florida. And he's here to talk to us about for a lot of us, it's a little bit of an esoteric thing that's going on, but it's probably going to have an impact, could have an impact on all of us if what he's talking about actually goes through. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, it's a pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you back. Tom, the issue you're here to talk to us about, as you know, is not something that's on the lips of any consumer and very few small business owners. So tell us what it is, and tell us why we should care.
Well, we should care because so many of your listeners are exporters, but a lot of them are also importers, too. And so much of what we use in this country every day is imported goods. And there's a proposal that's been kicking around that would, in essence, add a tax to all these consumer items that we import, shoes and apparel and other things like that, that would land in the United States. And what's interesting about this tax is it wasn't proposed by the president. In fact, he's going on record saying no new business taxes. It wasn't proposed by the Congress. It was proposed by the Customs Service of the United States in reversing a rule of customs valuation that's been standing there for 20 years. Hmm. So a number of folks are really concerned about this and have mounted a coalition to make sure that new tax is imposed against business and consumers for the foreseeable future.
There's something that you pointed out to me called the first sale rule. Tell the audience what that is.
That's in assessing the import duties on merchandise entering the U.S., the rule of law that's defined by the courts is the first sale that results in the exportation to the United States is the sale upon which the duty should be assessed. And Customs, in essence, wants to look at the last sale. What that would do would be to increase the duties we all pay for things like apparel and footwear.
All right. Explain how the difference between the first sale and the last sale with regard to the duty.
In a series of transactions for exporting, let's say, a tailor-made suit to the United States, for example, instead of looking at the first sale, which results to the export to the United States, the Customs Service wants to reverse all this law and look at the last sale.
Well, why does that increase the tariff?
Because in the first sale, the price may be $100. In the second sale, it may be $120. In the third sale, it may be $140.
Okay, are you talking about, like, for example, if we have a 5-year relationship with someone, or is this over a period of a day or a year, or what is it?
Transaction by transaction. So whatever the cost of the goods are in a particular series of transactions, the mm-hmm. cost would be raised and would be increased, and therefore the percentage duty, if you're paying 30% of duty, 30% on a higher number would be more duty. So customs duties would rise, and therefore.
So is customs is this an attempt by the customs and border protection organization? Is this an attempt by them to raise more money for their own coffers?
It doesn't go directly to their coffers. I think they didn't like this rule when it was announced 20 years ago, and they don't like it today. And
the first sale rule. They don't like the first sale rule.
They didn't do it, and their excuse for raising it now is an advisory opinion issued out of the World Customs Organization in Brussels, Belgium. And the last time I looked, that wasn't within the United States.
See, this is the kind of stuff that raises the hair on my neck when I hear any kind of international organization having influence over how we run our business in the United States. This really, really gets my hackles up a little bit, maybe a lot.
It got the hackles of the Congress up, too, and the Congress has taken some action. We'll talk about it after you.
Hold on to this. He knows how this works, folks. 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back with Tom Travis. Stay with us. I'm over my head. But it sure feels nice.
Well, you can both visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. AFLAC.
Stand by.
That's right. Do it no matter what the people say.
No matter.
They don't even know.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can go to find the show and all the different ways you can listen to the show, how far back you can go, all the way back to 99. You can pick up shows, interviews that we've done, like all the ones we've done with our good friend Tom Travis, who's with us right now. You can go back and listen to the different topics and subjects that he and I've talked about over the last couple of years since he's been a member of our Brain Trust. You can also subscribe to my free newsletter. You can check out our blog. You can read articles. You can check out our other Brain Trust members. All the things you can do there at smallbusinessadvocate.com is free of charge, just available right there for you, thanks to our corporate partners. And, of course, we have our knowledge base, askjim.biz.biz, where you get small business answers now. Also, no barrier to entry. Tom Travis and I are talking about a topic he's brought to my attention, the first sale rule. And, Tom, this issue, and what's happening, folks, is the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Organization is trying to change the way they assess a tariff on incoming goods from when the first sale is made, when it's probably cheaper, to when the last sale is made. And this is an issue that's multifaceted. It's affecting what you and I pay for goods. It's affecting the profitability and the competitiveness of companies who import goods here in the United States. And it is an issue of governance, of sovereignty, in my opinion. This last point that Tom made about this new ruling being suggested by a group out of Belgium. Tom, here's a question for you on the price. If they're going to the last good that comes in, last sale, do they then apply that back over all the previous sales?
They can if they've withheld their action on previous sales, but normally that's not the case. But the good news, Jim, is the Congress has taken note of this and has acted. And there's been a coalition of about 51 congressmen and about 18 senators that have protested this. And last week, they were able to insert into the Farm Bill a provision that sets forth some restrictions on customs changing this important rule of customs law. And we'll see whether the Farm Bill gets vetoed by the president and if there's an override. But that provision basically says it's the sense of Congress that they shouldn't do this. They need to do some studying before they mess with a rule that's been around 20 years, and it basically puts it off to 2011. And we're certainly hopeful that the Customs and Border Patrol will take a serious and hard look at that and hold off this precipitous action.
Well, I know you're saying that the Customs Service is driving this, but what politician? I mean, there are all these bureaus, all these organizations are ultimately under the thumb of some politician, some appointed person, if not some elected person. Who's driving this decision?
Well, Customs and Border Protection sits under the Department of Homeland Security and also has a joint reporting responsibility to the Department of Treasury. So both it's Treasury and DHS, Department of Homeland Security. And a number of people have, the vast coalition really has been in touch with them. And in fact, they opened this issue up to some comment. And out of the comments that were filed, almost 80 of the 90 comments were against this
So does this ultimately come back to Chertoff?
Chertoff, right, and Secretary Paulson. But that's where it rests right now. But
I mean, did those guys sign off on this? Did they accept this as new law?
This
doesn't sound like Paulson. I don't know about Chertoff, but
Chertoff's office has issued a letter in support of the customs, in response to some inquiries by senators and congressmen about this particular rule. But I think the last action was last week when the Congress spoke in the provisions in the Farm Bill. So we're hopeful that this uncalled for action and ill-timed action will be withdrawn.
So if it isn't, though, what could be the damage? What could be the have you got a number, a figure on what it could cost for consumer or small business owners?
We think it'll raise the cost of many consumer goods, millions and millions of dollars for American consumers at a time in our economic history, which is not the right time to do it.
What about imported food and commodities like beef and corn and things like that we might import?
We don't know all the different companies and all the different commodities which use this particular benefit of law, but we know that it can go across the whole board of commodities. It can go from cars to foodstuffs to consumer items. So we're very concerned about it. It's just the wrong time for a new tax.
Especially with the economy in this condition it's in and with the Fed trying to fight inflation while still balancing the need to maintain an economy above recession level. I mean, the Fed is really on the horns of a dilemma right now. Do they ease interest rates to promote the strength of the economy, or do they tighten to hold inflation down? They don't need this kind of intervention by the customs organization.
And it's contrary to U.S. law. All those reasons are right, and it's contrary to U.S. law. So what in the world were we thinking?
Well, just the fact that the suggestion came out of Belgium is enough to discredit it out of hand.
Me too, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. And then all you'd have to do to really make me mad is to say the U.N. likes it too. Stand by, 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back with Tom Travis. He's managing partner of Sandler, Travis, and Rosenberg. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Tom Travis, outstanding member of our Brain Trust Managing Partner with Sandler, Travis, and Rosenberg. Tom, give us your website, please.
It's strtrade.com.
strtrade.com. Tell us a little bit about your company.
We have both a consulting company and a law firm. We advise companies and individuals doing business globally. That's the shortest way I can say it, Jim.
That's a good radio version of what you guys do. And folks, I encourage you to check them out. Tom, let me ask you. Let's talk about how this would impact a small business owner. Let's say we've got a small business owner who's been looking into exporting and has been working with U.S. Commercial Services, which is an organization I encourage them to check out, and other groups have been helping them make sure they make the right connections and they do everything just right. And so they decide that they see import opportunities. While they're nosing around about exporting, they see import opportunities. And they're trying to determine how to price their products. Today, how would they know how to price their products?
coming in here.
There'd be some confusion.
How to negotiate? It would be confusion, wouldn't it?
There would be confusion. And I want to tell you that while you mentioned U.S. Foreign and Commercial Service, they are outstanding.
Yeah.
And I know you've urged your listeners to use those services. And those individuals we have, both inside and outside the United States, are one of the greatest sort of promotion efforts that the government has done right.
Yep.
But as to your question on small business, sure, this rule affects everybody. There are a number of smaller companies which have been entrepreneurial, been intrepid, and they've gone ahead and found these opportunities, and they're also using the benefit of this this law that has been around for 20 years. And
the first sale law.
Yes, sir. And their products are at risk, too, their profits and products.
So is it possible that they've negotiated contracts over a period of a year or two with people outside the country, and now the government could drop in this last sale rule instead of first sale rule, and it could completely blow what they've already negotiated, the value of that contract?
The contract will say the same. The problem is their landed cost in the states will go up. So their profit margins may evaporate.
That changes the value. And here, let me extend this to you another way. If that small business has gone to his or her bank and gotten a loan against those contracts to help fund the receivables and everything, the inventory for all this, and all of a sudden, because of this rule change, their profit margin goes down. That makes the deal not as good a deal for the bank. And Tom, I could see a bank could have certain covenants in a loan for something like this that they could bust a covenant and be out of balance with their bank and maybe lose the loan.
Well, it certainly could happen, and it would be an unfortunate result of an ill-timed and ill-advised change.
But you think, but it's tied up. The thing that would stop it is tied up in the agriculture bill, the farm bill?
In the farm bill, there's a provision in it that provides that it's a sense of the Congress that's what it's called, the sense of the Congress that Customs should delay this any proposed change until at least 2011.
Why are they delaying it? Why are they kicking the can down the road? Why don't they just squash it?
I think that's the most they could have put in the Farm Bill at the time. Farm Bill has its own sunset provisions in 2011, but the coalition of companies and individuals that want this want to go back to the status quo are still going to fight this thing and try to make sure that this rule of law is not changed by the result of some advisory opinion out of Brussels, Belgium.
Out of Brussels, Belgium. Yeah, that just sticks in your craw when you just to say that. But the president has he talked about vetoing the farm bill?
There have been discussions about that. We'll see what happens.
Because it's heavily laden with pork, isn't it?
I'm not an agricultural specialist. I know that that the majorities in both houses of Congress were enough to override the president's veto should he decide to do it.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
That's beyond the scope, my scope. But I can tell you this. The reaction of the trade community to this proposal was one of unanimity and of opposition.
Well, Tom, thank you for bringing this information to us and for keeping us posted, folks.
Thank
just
you.
Another piece of information in our education as we work globally, as we do business across the world. Tom Travis is our guest, and we appreciate him being here very much. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.